you have your Bibles, turn with me to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. We will take our reading from verses 26 to verse 29. Listen to this. This is God's very word to you. And he said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come." Let us pray. Almighty God, we ask that you will bless your word, that you will cause it to well up within us and produce a harvest. We ask that you will do this by your grace and for your glory. In Christ's name, amen. Do any of you actually understand growth? What do I mean? Well, how is it that a seed is put into the ground and then produces something? I'll give you a for instance. You know that you've grown children into adulthood when you actually care about growing grass in a yard, that you want it to produce. I'll tell you why growth is a mystery. When Jen and I lived in Greenville, we were trying to sell our house, and for 4 years, I had had a barren patch in my yard, a patch that I wanted grass to grow in. I did everything imaginable to make this grass grow. I bought expensive seed. I'm talking about $60 for a bag of seed. Ridiculous amounts of money I spent in a patch that was 10 foot by 10 foot to get grass to grow. I did everything the bag said. I plowed the ground. I watered it. Put fertilizer on it. I chased off birds. I chased off squirrels. That's another way you know you're an adult. You get tired of squirrels. But I chased them away and I tried to put away with them, and not a single blade of grass ever came up in that spot. Now, fast forward about 5 years, and here we are in Kings Mountain, and a friend of mine says to me, "You'll never get grass to grow in your yard. You have those two pin oaks or live oaks in your front yard. They're so full of acid, they suck the ground dry. You'll never get grass." And so I thought to myself, I'm going to give it a try, but I'm not going to buy expensive seed. I'm not going to do anything like that. And so I buy $5 seed from Ollie's. And I put $5 seed in this big area of my yard, and not once have I done anything to take care of this grass, except for the first day I watered it. Because right after that, Jen and I were called, and we went down to Greenville. And the bag says water every day until it's established. But when we came back from Greenville, from picking up little Avery and brought her home, I had grass in my yard. Who understands growth? That's the parable that we have set before us. No one can understand why a patch of ground that was given every opportunity, every available means, did not produce a single blade of grass. Same conditions, everything. But another plot of ground produces. The seed grows. It comes up. There's no telling why some seed, given all the assistance that man can give, doesn't grow, and some that doesn't seem like it has a chance, the Lord calls us to produce. That's similar to what Jesus is here saying about the kingdom of God. Jesus, in this parable, says to us, this is what the kingdom of God is like. It's like seed growing And if you can understand a seed growing, then you can understand the kingdom of God. You see, only the Gospel of Mark records this parable. And it's very possible that Jesus, in this parable, in telling us this mystery of the seed, is countering the zealots and countering the Pharisees, who in his day were trying to usher in the kingdom of God by what they did, by their actions, by trying to overthrow Rome on one hand, or a partner in alliance with them so that they could work their political magic, so to speak. But Jesus tells this parable to say, no, that's not how the kingdom of God comes in. The kingdom of God comes in mysteriously. Now, there are some things that we'll have to notice about this parable. It does require seed. The gospel must be there for something to be considered the kingdom of God. And so Jesus, in telling this parable, is explaining to us in this way a mystery. And that mystery is the kingdom of God is like a seed growing. And so in this parable, we are going to see that it's only by God's gracious and mysterious work that seed grows and bears fruit for the kingdom of God and in man. Let me say that again. It's only by God's gracious and mysterious work that seed grows and bears fruit for the kingdom of God and in men. We're going to see that in 2 points this morning. We're going to see, firstly, the kingdom's mysterious growth. The kingdom's mysterious growth. And secondly, we're going to see the kingdom's sure harvest. So let's see the growth of the kingdom. Verse 26. And he said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear." Now, Jesus is setting up this parable. It's very similar to what? The parable of the sower. But in this instance, the man scattering the seed is not Christ. Now, the seed is still the same. It is the gospel. But obviously, Christ knows how the kingdom grows. Christ is the one who understands the growth of the kingdom. So this man is really not relevant to the story other than the fact that he scatters some seed. That's the job of a minister. He does not have a part in the growth of the kingdom outside of doing that which God has given him, taking a bag and scattering seed. But then it moves on, and Jesus says that this man, he sleeps and he rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows, and he knows not how. There's a mystery, Jesus is saying, to growth. Mystery to growth in the natural world and a mystery to growth in the kingdom of God. He says he knows not how. That growth is imperceptible to us. What do I mean? Well, when we want to measure our growth, we don't look at ourselves daily in the mirror. You children, your mom and dad might take you and stand you against the door frame, and they'll take a pencil and mark it right above your head. And today you're this height, and tomorrow you come back and you're still this height. And the next day you come back and you're still that height. And then the next day you come and there might be something a little different. We don't know how we grow. We don't know how or when someone grows. And so it's the same with this seed. All the farmer can do is trust God. He sows the seed. Now, he pulls the weeds. He has tilled the ground. He has put out fertilizer. But that doesn't guarantee growth. Just as I did with that barren patch in Greenville. I did everything that I could to make the conditions right, but that did not guarantee growth. Growth is a mystery. Growth depends on God. The farmer cannot make the seed grow or sprout. He's dependent upon the seed and the growth that comes from it. But we know that this isn't simply mechanistic. We know that planting seed doesn't automatically produce a crop. It takes God to make things grow. And so, as it is in the natural world, so it is in the kingdom of God. If there's going to be growth in you, if there's going to be growth in anyone, God has to do it. And He does it through His seed. You see, no one can say precisely the moment that a seed begins to move with growth. If you've ever planted something that was a seed, and you check on it every day. You look, you come back by, you check, and you come back by, and you check. And then one day there's something. There's something that has sprung up through the ground. And that's the picture that Jesus gives here. No one can say, even if there's a camera watching a plot of ground and it catches the precise moment, no one can say how or why those seeds came up. And that's what Jesus is saying. No one can say why one crop, given the right circumstances and ideal weather, fails, and some that goes through blight and some that goes through drought for a time produces. It's almost exactly like what Christ said in our New Testament reading. I remind you of what He said in John chapter 3 and verse 8. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. God must cause growth. God must cause growth in the kingdom. If there's going to be a kingdom, it is His growth. Now notice what the text says. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows, and he knows not how the earth produces by itself. Now the word there for by itself is the word wherein we get our word automatic. And the farmer here has scattered the seed, but there is nothing that he can do that produces this crop. You see, it's automatically that when God allows, sends out, puts forth the seed of the gospel, that growth happens in people, that growth happens in the kingdom. Those who receive by grace through faith have growth started within them. That's what we saw in our Old Testament reading. In Isaiah chapter 55, we read this word. Isaiah 55, we read this. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater. It's a mystery. God causes these things to happen. But listen to what he says and what he likens growth in his kingdom to. So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that purpose for which I have sent it, and shall succeed for the thing which I have sent it. Notice, it comes up automatically by the intention of God, but it does not come without the seed. The kingdom of God is centered on, built upon, focused around the Word of God, the gospel, as we see and as we know and as we understand. The Word is necessary for the growth of the kingdom and in the kingdom. And the kingdom of God grows by means of the Word. When we use the term Word, the shorthand of what we're saying is this. God has sent Christ. God has sent His Son to live the life that we cannot, to die the death that we deserve, and to be resurrected. That's the word that is sown. It is that around which the kingdom of God is centered. All history moved to that point. All of history came to that point that in the fullness of time, Christ came forth. And now all of history is looking back to that time and still forward to that day when Christ will come. And so the word produces growth, but the word also produces judgment. You remember the parable of the sower. The seed is scattered. And if it falls among the pathway, if it falls among the thorns, if it falls on the rocky soil, it doesn't bear true fruit. But that soil is responsible for having heard or having received that seed. And so we notice then, it says, the earth, this is verse 28, produces by itself first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. Notice that Jesus doesn't say that when the seed is sown, immediately you get a crop. No, the kingdom of God functions much like seed that is sown. The kingdom of God comes with a natural process, if you will. It's in the natural order. Seeds do not sprout as full trees. Kingdom growth is not instantaneous. We like instant. That's why we have fast food restaurants. That's why we have microwaves. We like things fast. But the kingdom of God doesn't come that way. Kingdom of God comes like a seed growing. There is a natural order. No one's born with a 25-year-old body and the wisdom of an 85-year-old. No, there's a natural order to things. That's the reason not too many people look to children for advice, but look to those who are older. Because there's a natural order, so it is in the kingdom of God, that which is planted must take root and must start from the smallest and grow into that which God has purposed. What does the scripture liken growing in the word to? What does it say? You're to crave what? The milk of the word. But then in Hebrews, we're told we are to grow up to solid food. Why the analogies? Because God causes the kingdom to grow very much like natural growth. It produces fruit worthy of harvest. Now, we must take a couple of side notes here and see, first of all, what is this parable not teaching? What is this not saying? What is Jesus, in putting this out there, not saying to us? He is not saying that there can be growth where there is no seed. He's not saying that you can grow where Jesus has said you cannot. You cannot have good fruit come out of rocky soil. You cannot have fruit produced out of the thorns and thistles of the world. No, there can be no true growth in those. He has said there cannot be. So what is he saying? Jesus is saying what is true then of the natural is true of the kingdom of God. And what is true of the kingdom is true of the individual within that kingdom. In other words, if we cannot understand the growth of the seed, how much more can we not understand the growth of the kingdom of God? It's God who makes seed grow in His mysterious time and in His way. Isn't that what the apostle said? He said, some of you are saying, I am of Apollos, I am of Peter, I am of Paul, I am of Christ. And he says, but what is Paul? He's nothing. What is Apollos? I've planted, Apollos may have watered, but it's God who gives the increase. And so we must trust Him to bless those means that He has promised to bless. That's what Jesus is saying. God has placed a natural order within the kingdom that it grows like a seed. And He has promised to bless those means which He has put forth. We may not understand how or when then we grow. But if you want to grow, if you want to come to an understanding, if you want to be nurtured here, if you want to come to an understanding of Christ now, if you want to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord, you must make use of the means that He has provided. And that means the Word. You must be a person who is centered around the Word. What is true for the kingdom, that the kingdom comes only through the seed being sown, is true in your life. That you will only grow in grace in this kingdom if you're centered around the Word. The same is true for our congregation. Boyce Memorial will never grow in grace and knowledge of Christ unless we are those who are centered around the Word. Growth is seen in that we become more and more focused upon the Word. If you want to see growth in yourself or in this church, we must be those who see the beauty and the glory and the mystery of that seed which God has given, that He sends it forth to accomplish His purposes. And so Jesus sets that before us. We must not be tantalized then by the fads of the day. We must not be taken away. We must in our own lives and in this church be centered around the Word and the means that God has given. We don't know how or when or why, but He will cause His Word to accomplish that for which He has sent it. He will cause growth. And so we see then the kingdom's mysterious growth. But then Jesus finishes by talking about the kingdom's sure harvest. Verse 29. But when the grain is ripe, at once He puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. Now notice what this is saying about the kingdom. Everything is done at the exact right time. You will never have a plant sprout before God has ordained it. You will never have a person harvested, a person pass away, a person die until the Lord has brought to bear all that fruit in His life. And ultimately, Christ will not return until God has accomplished all that He has purposed. When the grain is ripe. Notice this is very similar to what we see in Jesus' ministry. Jesus did not set foot on the earth. He did not incarnate Himself until the exact right moment, until the fullness of time. And then Christ did not go forth until the right time. Verse 15 of chapter 1, Christ came preaching and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel." Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4, it says what? It says that at the fullness of time, Christ came. Here, Galatians chapter 4. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons at the right time. Now, what does this mean for you, that God operates in His kingdom, in His time, and in His way? Well, it's this. You trust Him with the sowing of the seed. When you share the gospel with a friend, when you proclaim the gospel to a loved one who is lost, when you speak of Christ, though you may not see fruit now, though the earth may not budge, though you don't see growth, God may still yet bring forth a fruit unto harvest. Stonewall Jackson put it this way: duty is ours, consequence is the Lord's. Now what he was saying is this: we are called on as God's people to be centered around the Word. So much so that we build our lives on it, so much so that we cannot help but speak the good news of Christ. And when we do, He will produce the harvest that He desires. And so the kingdom of God only comes at the right time. And so we do these things. We're faithful and we trust Him. You see, at Christ's coming, people knew that it was nearing the time for something to happen. Luke tells us that when they saw John the Baptist, all the people were in expectancy. There was something about to happen. But Jesus only came forth at the right time. And then we see throughout the Gospels what happens. They want to lay hold of Christ. They want to take Him and kill Him at this very moment. At one point, they drive Him to the edge of town to a cliff and He walks through their midst. Why? Because His time was not yet. As God's people, we can know that His time is always perfect. His kingdom is always coming at the right time. Because only when the moment was exactly right, Christ came forth and inaugurated the kingdom in its final and true sense. And He planted those seeds. And as we will see next week, it grew. And it is growing. And the kingdom will continue to grow. Because God has planted it. Because He has done it. And its growing will continue and grow until the right moment. It has borne all of its fruit, and it's guided and prompted by the Word. This growth is. His Word's not going to return empty. And then at that moment, He will return. He will, as we see, put in the sickle. He will cause a harvest to be reaped. Revelation chapter 14, verses 14 and 15 tell us that in the fullness of time, Christ will return. Now, all of this is nice. What does it mean for us and the kingdom? What does this mean to us that the kingdom is right? The kingdom will happen. The kingdom will come when God causes it to come. It will bear the fruit that He causes it to bear. Well, it means this, that Christ is triumphant. And even though you may have looked and seen terrible things in the news the past couple of weeks, it will not triumph over the kingdom of God. Christ's kingdom will be victorious. It will grow and it will flourish. And there are times where it won't be seen as well as others, but it will continue to grow and it will bear out a harvest above all others. You can rest in God's Word. Though there are terrorists, though there are things that happen throughout this world, though there are persecutions of our brothers and sisters, you can bet that God's Word is sure and Christ will be victorious. Because His Word accomplishes that for which He is sent it. And it will produce sure harvest. Other than that, you may be struggling with growth in your own self. Perhaps you have struggled with sin. Perhaps you have struggled in your own life, wondering, Lord, I don't even see in my heart the fruit of being a Christian. What do? Well, you look to those means that He has given that seed, that gospel of Christ. He has given His Word, and you take hold of that, and you take hold of those promises, and He will produce growth in you, in His time, and in His way. Growth is a mystery. So it is with the kingdom of God. You will come to full maturity in His time and in His way. Let us pray. Father, it is a mystery to us how we grow and in what way You produce fruit in us, even when our faith is the weakest and we do not see that growth in ourselves. We ought to be those Make us those who trust in the means you have provided. Let us be good soil. Let us be receptive soil, that we might be those who produce that harvest. Father, we ask that you will cause us to be those who are centered around and on the Word, that we might be those who go into our communities, that we might be those who take with us the overflow of your Word, so that when people ask, we may be able to give reason for the hope that is in us. Your Word is sure. We trust that you will accomplish that which you have said. And Father, you have told us to come to you in prayer, and that you will hear us and you will answer according to your will. And so we ask now that you will indeed hear us. We ask that you will bless your gospel throughout this world. Let it produce fruit. Bless our brothers and sisters in Christ who are this very day being persecuted for their beliefs. Bless our friends and family who are struggling. Father, we ask that you will grant peace through your words to them, that your promises are sure, that they are yea and amen in Christ, and that you are faithful. Bless our government. We ask that you will cause your word to come to bear in the hearts of those who do not know you within our government, that you will bring them to yourself, that they might do those things, that they might govern in that way which most glorifies you. We ask this at the national level and at the state level and even at the city level. We ask, Father, that you will bless our denomination, that you will cause your word to be planted within us deeply, that we will go out and that we will be fruitful. We ask, Father, that you will do these things because you have promised and your word is sure. And we pray that you will cause it to accomplish that for which you have sent it. We ask these things in Christ, our Savior's name. Amen.